Say the words Impressionist art, and you're likely to think of the Europeans like Monet, Manet, Renoir, Degas, and Cézanne. But a number of American artists fit in that category, too. In Jackson, the Ella Sharp Museum has opened an exhibition called American Impressionism, The Lure of the Artist's Colony. It's on loan from the Reading Public Museum in Pennsylvania, and current state Scott Pohl recently explored the exhibition. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Mark.
Tell us a little bit about what you saw.
Well, there are 55 pieces on display from what the museum describes as the golden age of American Impressionism, the 1880s through the 1930s. Being far from an expert myself, I decided to take Laura Smith with me to Jackson. She's an assistant professor of art and art history at MSU. I asked her to speculate on why the Americans are less well known than the European Impressionists.
The way I would respond to that maybe has more to do with people's love of color and light, and how the vivid strength of that comes out more in the French Impressionism than in American Impressionism. American Impressionist tends to have a tonal palette which can seem darker. I think at the time, at the golden age of Impressionism, they certainly were well known and highly revered, especially in contrast to the European movements of abstraction that were coming over and really criticized by most American artists and critics.
Which American artists maybe would you say should be more widely known or appreciated?
I think the most well known are Childe Hessem and John Singer Sargent. And they certainly have their audience and reputation. And most are recognized as Impressionists, but I think they're so different. I think that we do kind of have Monet and the French Impressionism as our marker of the convention, perhaps. And because American Impressionists stray away from those French Impressionists, that they aren't as well known for that reason. So there's certainly many of them in this room, in this exhibit, right now, who have, you know, fabulous renditions of landscape and light and color.
Did the American Impressionists exist in the same circles as the Europeans? Did they know each other, work together, appreciate each other?
That's what these art colonies were about, were coming together, not just painters, but musicians and writers, and sharing ideas and seeing everybody's latest work. And artists of the day still spent a lot of time in Europe and going to study. I mean, they had the best art schools at the time, and that was part of your training. I mean, if you wanted to make it as an artist, you had to go over and spend time in Europe and study with those. And so that's where they are coming into contact with French Impressionism, and also, you know, collectors are bringing them over and doing exhibitions beginning in the 1880s for the United States.
Well, the exhibition is called American Impressionism, The Lure of the Artist's Colony. I wanted to bring that up with you in regard to the typical image of the solitary artist working alone somewhere. The artist colony movement took that in an entirely different direction. People worked together, observed each other, learned from each other in these colonies.
These were seasonal colonies. They would come during the summertime to spend time out in nature, to get away from the cities, to get there was a lot of, in American culture, promotion for people to get away from cities, at least among the middle class, to rid yourself of the stresses of cities, the illnesses that were very common in cities, and get reinvigorated. And so artists followed their patrons out to the country, as well as returned with them to the cities for the rest of the year.
There were a number of them in the United States, and this exhibition, in some fashion anyway, is designed around different colonies. For instance, we're standing in front of some works from Old Lyme, and we're next to the Massachusetts art colonies here as well. They were all over the country.
Yeah, they originated in the East Coast, but there's notable ones in Santa Fe and Taos, and in California.
I want to talk with you about a few of the individual pieces here, and I thought I might begin with this piece called On Grand River by Frank Weston Benson. I wanted to make a point of talking with you about it because it's the piece that was chosen by the Ella Sharp Museum to promote this exhibition. On Golden River by Frank Weston Benson.
I think this probably pulled together some of the important elements of what artists were interested in when they're going out into these art colonies, getting away from cities. We don't see any evidence of, you know, buildings or factories or things, and we see a man making his way in a canoe through the river using almost old-time transportation, pre-industrial transportation. There's a lot about these artists that were interested in this moment of history, you know, kind of clinging to and being nostalgic about that historic moment of before industry, and many of them looking back to things that seemed very enduring, that would offer them stability and comfort. And who wouldn't feel that sense of comfort and restfulness going out on a river, going fishing, getting away from everything, and having these kind of solitary moments to restore yourself? I mean, and that's certainly what a lot of these artists were looking for. This painting by Irving Kaus is titled Indian Hunter. He, being among some of the early artists going out to Taos, New Mexico, to paint certainly a beautiful landscape, but also being very interested in the indigenous culture in the area. People who kind of represented, again, to him and to a lot of the artists in the Taos colony, a culture that seemed pre-industrial. So this nostalgia and revere for a time in the country before industrialization, this nostalgia for that. This is an interesting one, an artist I'm not as familiar with, Paulette Van Rockens, Towers in the Mist. This seems very typical of some of the American Impressionists who worked in more of a tonal palette, that is, ones that were more grayed down rather than the typical French Impressionist palette being very high key color or strong chromatic colors in that way, as well as, you know, exploiting the use of gray days or stormy days to dissolve form, so that there were other ways to dissolve form which Impressionists were interested in besides short, quick brush marks, where you're kind of seeing form dissolve and come back in light, and exploiting the steam, what you think must be, you know, the coal fire smoke, and turning it into more clouds to dissolve those forms, or the wetness of the pavement here. You know, not a strong as vivid color as we just saw with the other painting, but one that is impressionistic in its sketchy brushwork.
It's interesting that we've gone from scenes of solitude and getting back to nature to a busy city landscape with towers, rain falling, cars moving, bustling pedestrians.
Exactly, and this was, you know, the how many of them started out, and this is where they were. The other parts of the year that they weren't out in the summer was back in the cities and recording moments of modern life as they were happening. This painting by Guy Carlton Wiggins, Gloucester at Twilight, is one of very appealing ones. It's one that kind of is hung right at the beginning of the exhibition and captures, again, the scene, you know, of village life, small town life, which the artists, especially in the eastern colonies in New England, were very attracted to this life, again, away from cities. And, you know, here I'm seeing ships in the harbor, but perhaps not your most modern mechanized ships, but it looks like the old sailboats almost. And then in the background, taller buildings that Our church steeples, again, these symbols of enduring, what they perceive to be an enduring American values, at least to this class and race of artists, Euro-American artists, that they were looking to, you know, things that seem to be enduring, and that was a cause to a lot of them, a lot of anxiety. There was a lot of quick cultural change, and, you know, looking back again to this moment before industry, perhaps to the origins of the country, which many of them could trace their own origins back to, you know, the Puritans, the original settlers.
How often are the American Impressionists exhibited like this? And what I'm getting at is this, as I might guess, a rare opportunity to see the works of American Impressionists gathered here in Jackson?
I would think so. Impressionists in this country, I think, are very popular. And something that, you know, even my students in class, I mean, everybody kind of breathes a sigh of relief when they finally get to Impressionism, because they know it. They've seen it. They love it. They love the color. They love nature, as, you know, many of us do. A lot of Americans have a deep regard for wilderness, and especially in Michigan, you know, getting out to our state parks and to the coastline and being in our boats. I mean, I think that there is something that's very appealing, and that people in Michigan and Americans in general connect with.
The exhibition is called American Impressionism, The Lure of the Artist's Colony. It's at the Ella Sharp Museum in Jackson through January 11th. Laura Smith is an MSU Assistant Professor of Art and Art History at MSU. Thank you for joining me for this trip to Jackson today.
Thank you. I've been delighted to be here.
For Current State, I'm Scott Pohl.